I think there will be a walk-off if he wins this year, a Super Bowl. I think this – it won't be 45 years old. I think he'll walk off and say, the game's been amazing to me, and now I'm going to figure something else out.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yes, there you just heard the voice of Willie McGinnis, prominent New England Patriots star from the 21st century, wearer of multiple rings, thanks in part to number 12, Tom Brady. And that was Willie McGinnis telling you that he thinks if Tom Brady were to put one more ring on that finger, that might be enough for the guy, and he might hang him up and walk off into the sunset. In fact, no, might. He thinks that is what will go down. Anywho, hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. Here in 66, we're ready to roll after a couple of days on the edge of the continent in Santa Monica in a swank hotel with all the stars, all the pro football stars that you see on NFL media, and Dave, all gathered for a couple of days for some good times, interesting times. Let's kibitz about all those things. First, let's say hello to the people joining me here in Studio 66. First of all, seated to my immediate left, all the way from London, England, he's our resident Miami Dolphins fan. I think he knows deep down already that his Dolphins are not going to challenge the Patriots in 2018.
What? Not at all.
You don't think so? You think they might?
I think they will.
You do?
Yes.
Handsome Hank, everybody.
He's handsome, Hank.
Hello, handsome. How are you?
I am very well. You shouldn't put words like that in my mouth.
You're right.
Well, I think you do.
Oh, look who's back after an episode of nonstop butt kissing for Willie McGinnis, the handsome Hank, the salty fella that you've grown to, I guess, begrudgingly love, is back now. The apple of his eye, Willie McGinnis is gone.
Willie and I were both being salty on when was that, Tuesday?
Here's how
Monday it happened.
Here's how it went. If you missed that episode, I do encourage you, nay, demand you go back and listen to it.
See if you can summarize it for us, though.
Well, Willie spun some tremendous yarns for us. First of all, legitimate news about what he believes happened in Super Bowl week with Malcolm Butler, the star of Super Bowl 49. Fascinating, as we've pointed out before, that Malcolm Butler could basically herald the demise of two franchises, two potential dynasties, whatever you want to call them.
Seattle.
Butler, if the Patriots are done, if they don't win another one with Tom Brady in this era here, then Malcolm Butler will – he was a key member, at least, for why that didn't happen in the most recent Super Bowl. And then, of course, the big pick ended dynastic dreams of the Seahawks. That's fascinating. But anyway, he went in on that, what he thinks is going on with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And then he spun some dynamite yarns for us from his days in the huddle as well, including some funny stuff about Rodney Harrison and so on.
Yeah, he did.
And all the way, everything I had to say, like, I think this is what's going to be. Willie would say, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be this way instead. And then number three in the studio.
Number three?
I agree with Willie. Once again, you're brilliant. Willie.
I'll let that go, but I want to know, why am I number three?
Dameshek is rubbish.
Why is Willie ahead of me? I presume you think you're number one.
Were you like Willie's Flavor Flav, his hype man that day?
I don't even feel like that. Willie was making some great arguments, and I was just like, he's right again. Willie, this guy is—he's a genius.
You're so very smart, Willie.
That's the truth.
Would you care to go out for a dinner sometime? Maybe a drink.
Fancy a dinner?
Maybe a miniature golf, if you please.
If Willie was willing to go, and then.
Who knows where the night might take us?
I'm not sure that's.
Hey, mazel tov to handsome Hank, the extended Hodgson family. That handsome just informed us just this morning he became an uncle to a baby Tell the name.
So we've talked about baby names and what names maybe don't suit babies, but also baby names that people have to live up to. Mm-hmm. My sister just christened. They just had the baby. Named the baby Ferris.
Oh, that's heaven. And then give us the surname of
the surname
baby.
Is Wobby.
Wobby. Ferris Wobby.
I mean, that is... That's a
I haven't heard a name like that since So-So Jamabo. I'm in heaven. The real question, excuse me, what's the better name? Ferris Wobby or Fennis Dembo? Let's get that answer from the other guy here in Studio 66. You already heard his voice there. Interesting. He's got an interesting name as well. Just takes two syllables to say the whole thing. Total. Cole Wright, what's the poop fella?
Thank you for having me.
Eddie Spaghetti's favorite.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Eddie. Thank
is Eddie Spaghetti, is that right, Cole Wright, your all-time favorite on this show?
Is he your Willie McGinnis?
I have a group that I consider my elite tier.
There we go.
Is Cole Wright?
That's his nice way of
saying
no.
Let's hear it. I want to hear what
is Cole Wright in the top 10?
Top 10, of course, yeah.
What's your elite? Who's in the elite tier? And don't worry about hurting people's feelings. Like, I don't mind. If you leave Dave out, that's fine.
I think it's, I mean, obviously.
Don't worry about hurting.
What? Sorry, don't worry about hurting people's feelings.
Hank, you're safe. You're in the elite tier. Hank's in the elite tier. Obviously, nice. Matt Money Smith, Cole.
Obviously.
I should do an official release of everyone.
You should.
Power ranking.
I would like you to power rank.
Power ranking.
The entire.
I'd rather not power
one of the listeners. No, you should.
I just like the group.
No.
You're going to do it, you need...
I want individual power rankings, but maybe I'd also be interested in, you know, I do, and in fact, I'll do it in the next month or so, as I do annually, I issue my triplets rankings, the best quarterback, running back, wide receiver group in the league. Maybe when in line with that, you could release...
A lineup.
You could do your best groups, you know, your best groups in 66.
I'd be glad to, yeah.
You'd be glad to. I don't think you'll be glad once they come out.
Sometimes iron sharpens iron. People have to know what they
that
have
is
to
right.
Do
That's
to
right.
Point to build up.
No, create a little competition in the
That's
room.
Right. Yeah. You guys put out really, really good shows. Other people go, you know what? I've been on my B game, now my A game, and they'll learn.
And I tell you what, at the same time, Dave should do a producer lineup, like his favorite producer lineups.
Yeah.
Maybe make it all time because
I'm quite confident, so I'm not. Yeah.
I was
going to
say.
About.
I mean, listen, look who's behind the glass. Not by
who would you? Who would you take
chance,
out?
But not by chance.
Who would you take out?
Well, Emma VP is our head writer. Spaghetti is my what do you call it? A hype man.
Yeah,
I suppose right so. Yeah.
But he doesn't do much of a good job with
perhaps.
See, why Spaghetti, how do you feel about that when Emma VP suggests you're a brown nose?
Emma gets a little salty. She's just upset that I go the extra mile with the gift and just constantly, you know, if you need something done video-wise either for any of the multiple hundreds of podcasts you do, and I'm always there to help. So
that's just good business, Emma
yeah,
VP.
Definitely.
Don't you see that?
Yeah, that's good business.
I like how Emma keeps Eddie down, though.
Yeah.
Occasionally, she'll just slap him
down.
No
one likes the teacher's pet.
Yeah.
Ferris Wobby. That's what I like.
What's the middle name on Ferris Wobby?
Gabriel.
Nice. All right.
Cole. Cole's a weird one because I guess you could go Coley. Look at the little infant. Look at that. The apple of my eye now for the rest of time. What a darling little boy he is. Look at him. What's his name? Cole.
Wow. Oh,
you named him after what you get in your stocking if you're bad. What a tribute.
You know, I guess that's how it is. My mom calls me Coley.
Coley.
Did you,
so that's
did you have
cute.
A nickname?
My wife calls me Coley.
Did you have any other nicknames growing up?
Sinbad.
Sinbad.
I was a little overstuffed as a child
okay.
You know, in middle school, high school, and I used to like to fancy a joke or
right,
two.
Right.
I used to like to delight the class.
Did you
crack a few jokes?
Did you have a high rise? Whatever
I did
you call it. That
my,
thing.
My hair was top? My hair was too curly. It looks like my daughter's hair, so it was too curly and soft, and I never failed just quite right, or it did fall. I had to put hairspray in it. It was whack.
It's
so
been
I,
a long
I kept
time.
It short. Kept it short.
I do want to tell you something. A couple of things that stood out to me from the NFL media get together that we all just went through. But first,
we all. I mean, I invited myself for a drink.
I went for the free cocktail hour. I like free drinks and free food, if you please. By the way, speaking of booze, my pal David Feeney and I went out to the farmer's market here in Los Angeles and drank some beer. And then on top of that, we spun episode 66, Daves of Thunder, both available for your listening pleasure on Podcast One. Look for it on Apple Podcasts. Daves of Thunder. Go do it now if you care about me at all. Download it. Subscribe it. In fact, steal the bit from Spaghetti's favorite people, Big Cat and PFT. Download it. then unsubscribe. I mean, subscribe, then unsubscribe, then resubscribe, right? That's how you do it over there?
Yeah. Download, subscribe, unsubscribe, then resubscribe again.
By the way, Barstool, among some other national outlets, did pick up on some of the stuff that Willie McGinnis told you and me, Handsome Hank,
really?
A couple of days ago. So breaking news once again. That's what the DDFP's been all about this offseason. Grand fun, I dare say, our greatest stretch of shows, uninterrupted pretty much for about 4 months now. We've been doing our best work that we've ever done here on the DDFP.
Emma doesn't look like she agrees.
And yet we also find time to be important, don't we, Emma VP? We break news.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
See, that you could say a little bit more. Like, that's great work on your part, Dave.
Breaking news, yeah. Your faces were all over Boston media yesterday.
Ooh.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe
congratulations,
a little
Dave.
Plaque
you're
on the side of the
mine as well.
Yeah, you and Willie.
Really,
they
probably hate that.
You asked
because the whole England thing is not. You know, they're those guys are still a little salty about that, aren't they?
Yeah,
the whole New England and old England thing.
You did ask the incisive question, though.
Yeah, as usual.
Willie, tell me more about what you know. Brilliant football mind.
He really is a brilliant and a brilliant football player as well. So he's really everything you'd want in a package.
He's everything I could ever want.
Yep.
Cole Wright, what do you think about this? I this happened many years ago, but now that you mentioned Sinbad, let me get the opinion.
Right.
Actually, MVP and Spaghetti may not know this this tale. Once I was boarding a flight, and have you ever been on a flight with a famous person and you think like, oh, well, then this means that it can't go down, probably. The commercial flights, they don't, you know.
I agree. That's never crossed my mind.
They try hard, it's too important.
They're trying harder not to crash this one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the truth.
Maybe or maybe not. So I walk up to the gate, and I'm trying to think of the order in which I saw these guys. Okay, so it goes, so I see Sinbad at the gate. I'm boarding a flight in O'Hare.
Okay.
And on my way back to LAX. There's Sinbad. Wow, Sinbad's on this flight. I wonder, you know, Sinbad, of course, if it goes down, it's like Sinbad and 150 other people.
Yeah, he's the headline.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I see another comedian from the 90s, of some repute, Tom Green. Tom Green.
Absolutely.
Now.
Canadian legend.
That's right. Sure. That's right. Now I'm thinking that, well, you know, this is a weird star-studded.
Who gets
flight,
the headline?
Right? Then I see Rob Zombie, the director and musician guy.
From White Zombie, the rock band.
It was a trip back to 1992, basically.
It would almost be like Richie Valens and Buddy Holly going down. Both of them get the headline. Everybody knows that.
And you know what's sad about that?
Bopper was there, too.
I was just going to ask you.
But he was there. That's a trio.
He was there.
Triumvirate.
Here's the question. I think Handsome will remember this from a few years ago. But to the other people here in the studio and to you, the listener at home, play this game in your head. Who do you think one of those three people, two of them were in first class, one of those people was in coach with the rest of us normal people. Not only that, though, he was in the middle seat. He was in dirty 30E. I always remember that's the seat he was in, and I was thinking, that's where he sits? That's a shame.
I'm thinking it was Sinbad. He seems like a man of the people.
Your answer is Sinbad, locked in. Spaghetti.
I'm going to go, I think Tom Green was in 30E.
MVP.
I'm going Sinbad.
The correct answer. Give me a drum roll. I think it deserves it, MVP. It was Rob Zombie.
Really?
Isn't that weird? He's a big director. Well, I don't know if he's a big director, but shouldn't he have more loot than the other guys?
You would think.
But
other people, here's the deal.
I bet
someone else booked their flights.
Ah.
Those guys had flights booked for them to come to LA. He was paying for his own. He's like, I don't care. I'll sit.
Sinbad's a big guy, too. Sitting in coach. I mean, wouldn't be great, as I do, everywhere I go.
You know what's sad, though? If that plane went down that day,
yeah.
I wouldn't even get so much as a mention.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't get a mention.
We would probably talk about it on this show.
Yeah.
I guess in like one of the third or fourth segments.
Yeah. I've asked the bosses before.
By the way, everyone, Dave died in a plane crash yesterday.
I've asked the bosses here at the NFL, you know, what sort of acknowledgement, if any, would I get, you know, from the NFL media group at large, like on the NFL.com. Would there be some acknowledgement of my passing there on the big daily show that Cole Wright hosts, Total Access? Would I get a mention, or in what segment would it be? How would it be handled?
Maybe,
would it be like
a panel?
And that's why Cam Newton's got a fighting chance in the NFC South this season. Meantime, some bad news here for
NFL.com funny man, Dave Damashek.
Our NFL family lost a...
It's funny man.
I wouldn't
it's
say
Jester.
I wouldn't say an important member, but a member nevertheless.
Yeah. Court Jester, Dave Damashek.
Dave
Damashek.
Expired. It's Damashek.
They have to issue a correction. They have to issue a correction.
Damashek. Damn it.
Is that what
I'm being told it's Damashek. Okay. Dave Damashek has passed away.
I like your Total Access voice, though.
At the age of Panthers. 63. 63 years young. That's too young.
Too young.
Back with
gone,
more.
Gone too soon.
Back with more. With our coverage of the brand new analyst of who the best triplets in the NFL are. Coming up next on TA. Right? Is that how it would go?
Something like that, yes.
Total Access voice. I like that.
Hey, so here's what I wanted to – here's what stood out. I'll start with you, Cole. Oh, by the way, speaking of star sightings, I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger at the hotel.
I'm going to one-up you.
You can't – I mean, how could you one-up that?
Barry Bonds. Take that.
Barry Lamar Bonds. In that same hotel.
Hit his very first home run on my 8th birthday, June 4th, 1986.
I watched that on TV. It was in Wrigley Field. He had the gold hat on, the gold helmet when they were in transition with the Pirates uniform.
And it was as skinny as that wire that connected that microphone ball right
there. I know. Matt Money Smith had a more grown-up man build than Barry Bonds did when he first got into the big league.
Barry Lamar looked very svelte yesterday at the Fairmont Hotel.
Did he?
As he pulled up and proceeded to walk out and hit the beach.
It's funny you say that because Schwarzenegger didn't look – he wasn't slight, but he was slighter than what we've grown accustomed to him looking like over the years. I don't mind telling you, I was very disappointed to find out that I was taller than him.
Yeah, he's not a tall man.
Then Schwarzenegger.
Arnold.
Isn't
what?
That weird?
Arnold
I thought
is like,
Schwarzenegger's like 6'4".
No. Arnold
I'm
is
telling
like,
you, he's not. I stood next to the man. He's. I Damashek is taller than Schwarzenegger.
What? It's like Rocky.
Yep.
Come on.
Well, that I'm not surprised by. I would expect
but
that I'd be
even when you
that.
Watch Rocky, though, they still, all the camera angles, they still make Rocky look like he's taller than what he really is.
Yeah, I've never.
They do a great job at that.
I've never been in a room with
Sly?
Balboa. Yeah, but I do suspect that he probably.
He's like 5'8".
Is that what he is?
Yeah.
Like Cruisey? He's like Tom Cruise level?
I think so.
It's very sad. Mm-hmm. But Matt, what if you were a really tall actor? Well, what if you're a really tall actor? They would never let you be on screen because you'd make someone else look so small.
Actors are.
They're rare, right? They're
Will
like
Ferrell,
jockey.
Will tall. Ferrell. Vince Vaughn.
But he's not a leading man. But yes, Vince Vaughn has dabbled in that leading man.
Vince Vaughn is very tall gentleman.
He's tall. Yeah, he's tall. Like 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, remember we hung out with him before the Super Bowl.
At the Super Bowl in Houston.
Yeah.
In Houston, yeah. I ate tacos with he and Ralphie.
Oh, that's one
Peter Billingsley.
To name drop, he and Adam Carolla like to go listen on the podcast One
nice.
Sports, Good Sports on the Adam Carolla show. God,
have you got any other podcasts you want to promote?
I want to plug. So
that
what?
Are not
I'm
anything
plugging.
To do with the NFL.
Me and Carolla, we talk about sports all the time on that show.
That's not what I hear.
Me, Carolla, and Vince Vaughn like to walk off for dinner together. We're in their neighborhood in California.
Oh,
that
nice.
Must be some sight to see. Talk about Sinbad and Tom Green. How about Carolla and Vince Vaughn walking down the street? Like, that can't be, though, right? Is that those two guys? That's a weird pairing.
I saw Vince Vaughn headed to pack stuff back in my car from the beach one day.
Yeah, I've seen him in the nice bookshop.
Yeah, at the beach
well,
one day, and I walked past him. I'm like, hey, man, like, you know, I'm from Chicago, too. He's like, all right. He's like, right
like,
on.
I don't. What do I care?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Really, like, so
kept
billions
it real,
about
kept
people.
It real quick, and I kind of felt like a weirdo after I passed
that
him.
That conversation
up.
Is the weird.
It is the best.
Everybody, but you always do it, though.
Yeah.
Not all. I mean, I don't. Maybe I don't do it all the time, but if you are looking for something, oh, you know, I'm also from Pittsburgh. And then there's one extra layer, like, what part?
He didn't even give me that extra layer.
Huh.
Yeah, he just kept it moving.
I mean, there's nowhere to go with it. Oh, wow. Yeah. So we have so much in common.
Yeah.
I felt like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. I was like, big gulps. All right, see you later. I'm
is
from
that,
Chicago,
is
too,
that,
Vince
Is
Vaughn.
That your most awkward celebrity exchange?
No, actually, earlier in the day when we ate tacos with Peter Billingsley and Vince Vaughn, I saw Peter Billingsley coming out of the elevator. And my daughter's the biggest fan of Christmas Story. She's probably seen it over 50 times. You know, if she saw Ralphie in person as an adult, she would know that that's Ralphie from Christmas Story. So he walks right out, and you know what he looks like. Those, yeah. His
not
exact
really.
Same,
I think I
he has
would
the
know
exact
he
same
like.
Eyes as he had in Christmas Story. Obviously, everybody does, but as they get older, this things start to change. But he looks exactly the same right in this region. So yeah, I saw him coming out, and I was like, oh man, that's Ralphie. I'm like, what's his name? What's his real name? I'm like, it's Peter Billingsley. So I walk right past him, and I'm like, hey, Peter. And he turns around. I'm like, big Christmas Story fan. And he walks away. I'm like, idiot. It was pretty stupid. It was a pretty whack encounter.
Peter.
He's probably like,
he must think,
like, who is this dude? Like, what's
oh, what's somebody calling doing? My name. He must be familiar.
Yeah. Oh, he knows me. He knows me. Yeah.
That's
he
a
didn't
stranger.
Say Ralphie.
That's a stranger calling my
name. That's better than being called Ralphie. That would be annoying.
Yeah. Who did you? Who's
I met
your
Carlton.
Best handsome?
Call.
My best what?
Celebrity encounter.
My best celebrity encounter, I think
and
I
besides
met...
the one you had with Willie McGinnis on the
well,
latest.
That was game. Good, but I actually handled myself pretty well in that situation.
I think you handled Willie.
The talking about the celebrities on planes, the other day, oh, about a year ago, I was getting on a flight and I was at the gate and Laura Dern from many different things, Jurassic Park, was on. I was like, oh,
Baron Davis's girlfriend.
I think also
yeah, that's
she's
right.
had a,
she was with Nick Cage for
she was
a while.
With Cage, she was with she was married to what's his name, Harper,
Dennis Harper,
musician.
Oh, Ben Harper.
Yep.
Really?
Anyway, I get to the gate and I'm like, oh look, she's on the flight to London. But then I get to my seat and she's sitting in my seat, and it's a two seats next to each other in business class. It's very nice, but she's in my seat. And they've obviously let her on the plane in front of me, because she's a celebrity. So she gets settled. So I'm like, it doesn't matter.
You Hollywood elite think you own the world.
No, I was like,
well,
it doesn't
I'm
matter. It actually worked out well for me. It was
move
the
your bottom.
I got the window seat. So I was like, okay, I'm going to jump into there. No problem. Introduce myself. Hi, nice to meet you. And I don't really necessarily like, oh, wow, it's Laura Dern. Then I have an 11-hour flight.
I know famous people like Willie McGinnis.
I have an 11-hour flight with her.
Charming.
We had it. We slept, together next to each other in a bed. It was a very strange. I mean, we exchanged. We woke up together. We ate breakfast. But then because she was in my seat, they kept referring to her as Mrs. Hodgson. And then about 3 hours into the flight, after they called her Mrs. Hodgson several times, they were like,
she
said, am I in your seat? And I said, yes, you are. But I decided not to mention it.
Who knew?
There you go. That's my
separation of Jurassic Park.
What did you talk about?
We talked about different things. She was going back to London to reshoot a scene for Star Wars.
I was just going to say
that's where she was going.
Star Wars.
She wouldn't tell me anything about Star Wars, but that's where she was going. We also talked about the
Scourge. There wasn't a whole lot to tell about that movie.
No.
Yeah, we're out in space being chased the whole movie.
And then
then
her part was almost entirely unnecessary.
I inexplicably condescend
like
to the one guy who's trying to help out.
Yeah, it's very strange.
It's an odd movie. I wouldn't see it.
It's a terrible movie. We also talked about the scourge of bullying on social media for teens.
Wow.
She has teenage children.
Oh, good. I'm glad you guys were able to figure that all out. And I'm excited to see the real beneficiary of that encounter is Ferris Wobby.
Yeah. Well,
I assume he's
going
to get a grand baby present, right?
From me?
No, from Dern.
No.
They slept next to each other.
We did spend some time together.
It seems like your family now. She owes it to her new little nephew to send him a nice.
But it was weird because I never even though we talked about the fact that she was going to reshoot a movie, I never actually admitted that I knew she was Laura Dern. Mm. I didn't know if that's the right thing to do. You know what I mean? At no point was I like, "Oh, it's Laura Dern." Or,
I'm going to shoot a new scene for Star Wars. Not familiar with it. Don't care. Rubbish.
No, I didn't say that.
Never heard of
you
it.
You didn't do that.
Never heard of it.
Oh, good for you. You're an actor of some sort, are you?
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't.
I'm sure you.
We've spent too much time.
We needn't speak of the craft of acting. We must solve the scourge of online
bullying on social media.
By the end of this flight, I suspect you and I will have resolved all, settled all hash.
How do we make a smooth transition as I sneak out of here and hit?
You're leaving?
An 11:30 meeting, but I'm hoping it's quick because I want to come back. We haven't really even.
We haven't touched any of this.
I know.
We've got at least another 80 minutes in us.
So I just got to act like I just take these.
Go to the meeting.
Quietly move around.
Just scram.
All right, I'll be back.
Come back.
I like to scram and beat it, Dave. I appreciate that about you.
All right.
Appreciate that. I'll be back.
I don't know what that was all that.
No. I mean, it's great. It's a great way to tell someone to hit the road.
Yeah.
Scram, beat it, get lost.
Get out of here.
Old school phrases that nobody really uses, like phrases that you would hear on perhaps Top Cat.
Right. You know, make like a tree and beat it, you know?
Yep, exactly.
That's not how it goes. Make like an egg and beat it.
Boondock Saints?
Oh, I've never heard
something
that
like
one.
That.
I just made it
I'll
up.
Be back.
Or will you? It comes back up. Let's all end the show and be gone.
Lock the door and turn the lights out, Emma.
Let's make him.
We'll do the rest in the dark. It doesn't matter, just so long as Cole doesn't come back in.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, Coley.
Hey, producers, you don't have to talk to Coley over there. The show's over here. Show's over here, everybody.
This is it. Okay, lock the door, Emma.
Since you asked, my greatest encounter with a celebrity was when my sister Amy and I went up to Jack Ham at a hockey game. He's a Steeler legend.
And you wanted his autograph?
Oh, I already told this one. I don't know where I told this story.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
Carry on. Some listeners may not have heard it.
I went up to should-be Hall of Famer, in fact, Mean Joe Green, who visited us about a year ago and advocated for the guy who lined up next to him, LC Greenwood, being in the Hall of Fame. He's still doing. He's still fighting for other members of the Steel Curtain. He said, I want Jack Ham in the Hall of Fame now. Jack Ham was a great outside linebacker who would thrive in the 21st century. Speed and all that would be a great cover linebacker in today's game. But anyhow, we saw Jack Ham at a Penguin game, and so we went up to him and said, hey, Mr. Ham, can we get your autograph? And he said, sure. And he took the pen and paper, and he tried 2, 3, 4 times, and then finally just handed the blank piece of paper back to us along with the pen and said, sorry, your pen's out of ink. And that was the end of that encounter. Anyone behind the glass have a good one that you want to share?
I actually have a good one. I don't want to get back into the whole Pearl Jam debate, but I did meet Eddie Vedder.
No way! I didn't know this.
Yeah, the Beacon Theater in like 2011.
Is he short?
Very short. He's like 5'6", 5'7".
Ooh.
And yet
the ladies love him anyway.
That's funny you brought that up, though, because I went to the concert with 3 other friends of mine. I'm like 6'2". I'm probably the shortest of my group. And he came up to us after the show, after we met Josh Brolin.
Who's this little hobbit man? Are you a Pearl Jam fan? Oh, it's Eddie Vedder.
Yeah. Glenn Hanser, the Olsen twins, like his wife, they all came out. And then Ed came out, and we met him, and he like specifically talked to everyone. He's like notorious for being super nice.
Ed.
And he came up and stopped in front of us four, and he was like, oh, man, like, what a crew. And we all kind of just, like, we were frozen.
Oh, man, what a crew.
And then, like, and then all at once, we were just like, hey, like, thanks so much. Like, we've traveled all over for you.
Oh,
like,
what a crew.
But, yeah, he was,
it is spaghetti.
I knew this was going to happen. But he was extremely nice. And he stopped, and there was probably 100, 200 people outside, and he stopped for every single person.
Is that right? That's nice to hear.
Yeah,
I like
great.
When people do that. Yeah, that's nice. Emma VP?
I saw Michael Showalter in Starbucks, and kibitzed with him. That was really important to me.
Hipster comedian to the end, Emma VP. That's what makes her swoon. Yes, from Stella and beyond. Yeah, mm-hmm. Michael Showalter, one of the funniest guys. I've been around him a couple of times. Michael Showalter. Yeah, he seems like a funny guy. And then there's David Wayne, and then there's Michael Ian Black.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Showalter, I think, is perceived to be the most cordial of the trio.
That was my experience.
Emma, you were supposed to say it was you, Dave.
I met this guy, Dave Damashek.
After Dave Damashek, it's all been downhill since then.
I met David Feeney once. That was something else. Yep.
Did I mention that you need to download Daves of Thunder?
Go listen. Didn't.
Do yourself a favor. MOVP, you've heard the program?
I have.
And you enjoy it?
I love it.
Good.
I like the new one, too.
It's very funny.
There
you heard
goes
the new
again.
One?
I did, yeah. It was not as many bits as the last one, which I think was more stream of consciousness, which I like actually more. And I think just the atmosphere you guys were in, I thought it was pretty funny.
I like them all, Dave.
Me
too.
That's how you do it.
I haven't listened to the most recent one. I'm still – that you spent a long time drinking beer on Sunday, so I'm still most of the way through that.
That was very fun. Hey, so the NFL
What was
Summit,
your takeaway?
The NFL like, Summit
was
also fun.
You've been trying
to
answer this for 40 minutes.
2 days. I mean, surrounded. You know, you can forget yourself sometimes, but it is actually – if you step back, I always say this, and this isn't me name dropping. This isn't in the name of me name dropping. Rather, I do feel legitimately like, wow, what a weird. I don't know how I've stumbled into this life, but I'm seated next to LaDainian Tomlinson, and in front of us is Maurice Jones-Drew, and there's Kurt Warner, another row ahead, and Kibitzin about ball with all the fellas, you know. It was great fun.
It is. You're a lucky guy.
It really is fun. It really is fun to talk to them as Al Riveron, who, by the way, has committed to being on the DDFP, and we need to track him down to kibitz with him a little bit more. But he's, of course, the head of officiating, and so he went over all the rules changes. And it's the point of LT. And
is one of the rules changes that Rosbury will no longer be blue.
Rosbury is no longer blue. I wish it would. I'm not. I don't have time to take your bait and go down that.
But I feel like Riveron would like to hear that kind of stuff from you.
Well,
you should prepare your best material for him.
I did ask Riveron this. I said, "I'm gonna
in front of everyone."
No, I after the fact, I said, "Hey, Adam Carolla, I do a thing with him, and he really did. He wants it to be named the Carolla Rule." But in fact, he deserves it. He's the one who for literally for 18 years of knowing him has always advocated for why don't they just get more posts added to the goalpost so you can always see. So it's not a question, you know, just build that thing up high. And then they did a few years ago, and it really did clarify certain field goals, whether or not they were good. And he deserves credit for it. Some reason they call it the Cundiff Rule. I know why they call it the Billy Cundiff Rule, but shouldn't it really be the Carolla Rule? I said, what can you do about that, Al Riveron? He's like, I'll take a pass on that. He didn't have much interest in Kibitzin about that matter. But anyway, as Riveron went through all the rules, it was fascinating to listen to some of the icons of the last quarter century just amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. Maurice turning around to say, hey, LT, give me the lower and the head thing. Once you're in the hole, that's going to be hard to accommodate, right? And Kurt Warren's like, hey, I'm in favor of the court. The rules changes are interesting. The one that stands out to me that I think is going to be the most fundamentally altering to 2018 NFL is this kickoff rule. I don't think I really understood what was going on there, really dove in on what it was. Are you familiar with what's going on? You're not allowed as the kicking team. You have to start at the 35, so you can't get that 5-yard running start,
right,
which is significant. 5 yards if you're
get
a world
going.
Class athlete and you're running a 4-5 down the field, that's a big
difference. Yeah, you're from 0 to 60 in those 5 yards.
I mean, listen, I'm not. What is that even? Physics? How long it would take you to get to the to the same point
distance
with a running
plus
start.
Mass equals speed.
Yeah, that's physics
or something.
Somebody could do that, but anyway. But then again, you're not allowed to block them for the first. I think what is it? The first 15 yards. Anyway, it all amounts to this. I think that
what's the outcome going to be? Tell me.
I think it seems fairly clear that the team that the receiving team is standardly going to move up by 5 to 15 yards. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. In fact,
move up. What do you mean by move up?
Move up from their normal starting
position.
I think
it's now encouraging kick returns.
Yeah, I think.
But without collision, without being
the collision, yes, the severity of the collisions is owed to that.
I mean,
there's not
starts.
Really any equivalent to that full on speed and making head to head contact. But I think that these guys, I forget what the average starting position is for on a kickoff. So let's say it's the 25. I bet you it's like the 35 or 40. They're going to be more kicks return for touchdowns. I think average starting position, I think if you have a good kick returner, I think you're going to be out at the 40, 45 standardly to start drives. This is going to jack scoring up. It's only a one-year rule, which, in fact, I actually asked Riveron that after the fact. Is that why it's a one-year rule? Because they don't know how it's going to play out. I think it is going to boost scoring significantly. So if you like those pinball kind of scores, I think you're in store for more of that if you enjoyed Super Bowl 52.
So who benefits? A really speedy kick returner.
I really
feels
did
like would be the like a kick returner that can catch it and take it to the edge quickly.
Yeah, I really did think, and I realized, oh yes, no, Mike Tomlin and the rest of the NFL is not probably listening to Dave's strategic insights on this. Maybe they are.
Hi, Mike.
I wanted to whisper it, and the point being, I wanted to just say, like, hey, Coach Tomlin,
I don't tell the other guys around about this, but I think if you get a really good kick returner, it's really going to benefit you this season. But now the cat's out of the bag.
Right.
Now there's no one ringing the bell now. I've let all 32 teams know about this. I do think that that's going to be a big thing. The other thing is, too, the catch, non-catch, that's I think they've finally fixed that, you know, a few games too late, of course. I'll tell you, unironically, not kidding, we're going through the – here's the Zach Ertz in the Super Bowl, touchdown. Riveron says – I know it was a big story right after the Super Bowl that we changed the rules the week of. That is definitely not true. He swore up and down that we did not change anything. I couldn't overturn the Zach Ertz. I couldn't overturn the who scored the who caught the other one? Corey Grant? Corey Clement.
Yep.
The Corey Clement touchdown. No, I wouldn't have. If that had been called incomplete on the field, I would have stood by that. Same thing with Zach Ertz. But based on the call on the field, which makes me only angrier when then they show the Jesse James one as an example.
So that would now be a catch. Jesse James would be a catch.
Yeah, it was a catch then too.
All right, but calm down. But it would be ruled a catch.
Yes. The point with the Zach Ertz one that makes me crazy is he said, well, but because he's making a football move. He takes three strides after he catches the ball, so that's a football move, so that's a touchdown. But based on the old rules, if they would have called that incomplete on the field, I would have stood by that call.
Right.
I wouldn't have overturned it. But
that means to say it's both a touchdown and not a touchdown.
Kind of, yeah. And the imagine hearing that if you're a Patriot.
Yeah. It's kind of funny for us, but if you're a Patriots fan, that would be irritating.
You know what, though? I mean, listen, Jesse James scored too, and if the Steelers have home field, who knows what happens if the Jags have to go or the Patriots have to go down to Jacksonville for the divisional round and the Steelers host the Titans. I think you could make a fair case that the Steelers would have gone on to the Super Bowl. Or at least
they'd have been beaten by the Jags.
Maybe they would have been beaten there. But I think that the focus for the Jags as a young team would have been so all in on defeating the New England Patriots in Duval County. I think there would have been a weird anticlimactic vibe for a little while there for them, for a young group. We made it to the title. Anyway, but it makes me crazy because if you look at it, two tight ends. Zach Ertz took three strides on his way to the end zone football move. That's what Jesse James did too. It's the exact same thing. Should have been a touchdown on the field, and it was. And then they overturned it. What's the difference? It makes me crazy to this day. Also, if you now there's some other ones. I would look them up. I think the QB rule though is interesting. That if you where you know how if they go into a baseball like a guy sliding into third base, you know, feet first. You know, you're down immediately as soon as you go into, as soon as you hit the ground, that's where you're down by the marker. Now, if you lunge, you're down as soon as you touch the ground. Like you, if the, because the, this is good for the defenders, because you know, when the defenders get into that wonky spot of diving. But I can't touch him down, because he was so close to me. But when he went into that move, it was too late. And if I hit him now, I'll get a 15.
There were a couple of bad hits
and
last
they
year.
Jump over.
I remember. I think Kiko Alonso in a Dolphins Ravens game
got
in trouble for doing exactly that. It's like, well, I kind of have to hit him. But at least now you know
exactly
that takes that out of the equation.
Precisely why they're doing that. And so to avoid those kind of things. So now when the QB either way is running with the ball as a defender, you don't have to feel like, wait, what am I supposed to do here now? Am I okay? Well, as soon as they dive, this will help more athletic QBs. Matt Ryan diving for an extra yard and then rolling over because the defenders are scared to touch him and making the first down will no longer happen.
Yeah. Can you fake dive? I mean, that's kind of come into the game. Who's the best fake diver in the game?
It's about the standard is giving yourself up. Is what they, you know, when you give yourself up. I guess if you don't leave your feet, you haven't properly given yourself up. So I thought that was very interesting. Anyhow, any other stories, reminiscences that you'd like to share, Handsome?
I don't think so.
Oh,
we had a good time, right?
Everybody loves it when Handsome rolls in. I'll tell you that, boy. There he is. Kay Adams. Kay Adams, who you may know from Good Morning Football. What a dream that was for her to see Handsome finally in the flesh.
Yeah.
She was excited to get to meet you finally.
Well, we've met before.
Or hang out with you, whatever.
Right.
That was nice. Good for you.
It was fun. All those people. Lovely people. It was nice to see everyone.
Who did you like best?
I enjoyed hanging out with Dan Hansis. You know that guy?
Yeah.
We had a couple drinks. I probably feel like on that evening I had one drink more than I needed.
Hmm. Interesting. What about who was your least favorite?
Matt Moneysmith.
He's got.
You know, I just feel like I've seen enough of him.
He's got such a tude that. Dude, yeah. You know.
I just feel like enough.
Hey, let's continue our series. I started it on our most recent one. It's easy to be optimistic here in summertime. Every team looks kind of good. It really is very difficult to identify. It's much easier to make a case right now for why a team is going to be good and is going to make a playoff push versus the one that absolutely has zero chance of making it into January. And yet I bravely started to ID those teams that are not going to the postseason absolutely positively.
Let's see if we can do one per division.
Ooh, okay, that's fun.
That would be fun, right? I'm sure we can do that. Because then, I mean, there must be one. There are probably going to be some divisions where that's more difficult.
I'm sorry, here in summertime, before July 4th even arrives, I've already thrown dirt on the chances of Eli Manning and the New York Football Giants.
But what that means, it's good. It means you can start planning your fall and winter a little bit more effectively. Just do that. Then Sundays, you don't plan around that.
That wasn't a dig.
Especially for you, Eddie.
I didn't do that as a dig, Spaghetti. I really do.
You did it when I was gone, too, which I don't respect. Not that I disagree with you.
I just thought
I don't think Dave would be afraid to do that to your face. Let's be honest. I'm not sure he planned it for when you were gone.
I want to see him drive the stake into my heart and be like, your team's not making.
I see. You want him to look you in the eye as he.
I'm interested to hear
your soul.
I'd love to hear you attempt to advocate for the Giants.
I didn't say I disagree. I just would like to see it happen in person. I think there's a transition period. It's a tough division. I'm not totally disagreeing with you.
Dave often brings foods into the podcast studio, but they're the most inappropriate food. You can't scatter nuts all over the table and then expect. How am I supposed to eat these during the podcast? You can't crunch away eating. Okay, can I at least explain the fact that I'm eating nuts? He also bought chips, which is even louder. No, I'm grateful for you doing it. I want to eat your nuts. I don't know when I can do it without making a lot of noise.
Ah, nuts. Okay, it's time to announce now another team. I'm going to give Handsome a choice.
Okay.
And I'm going to show it to you. Which one do you want to go with today?
Well, am I eliminating one of these teams?
I mean, I'm eliminating both of these teams eventually, but which one do you feel that more
one.
Likely?
That one.
All right, here we go now. Team number two that absolutely positively ain't going to be dancing in January in the 2018/19 NFL playoffs. I'm sorry, don't come on down. Indianapolis Colts. I feel like there should be a pow or like a wah, wah, wah or something
You did it.
That'd be pretty cool.
Although that's mocking.
We're not mocking them. We're just like, hey, guys, I'm sorry. You guys are in a tough division with a team that's clearly going to win it with a huge question mark over your quarterback. You're in kind of the middle of a rebuild. I'm not sure I could name more than one player in your defense, and you're just not very good.
They've attempted to address the defense. They've attempted to. The problem is, and I almost hate because he's gotten so much stuff. But Ryan Grigson really did. Fact of the matter, did a crummy job.
He flattened the team.
He really did, and I know a lot of people feel bad for Andrew Luck. Of course, he's worth millions upon millions of dollars, so it's hard to feel too bad for him. But either way, we wish him the best as a nice guy, and all that. I wonder though. 2 months away from the time that he's supposed to be out there throwing a football against the best
athletes like
in the
world.
Throwing
like a high school football.
He's throwing this optimism. What's it owed to? Is it that Peyton Manning did it?
Well, I mean, we talked about this time last year. They were saying the same thing, and then it didn't happen. So why would we believe it this time around?
I understand they have Jacoby Brissett, who's a nice fail-safe, but still, in the division that includes two games against the Jacksonville Jaguars, mm-hmm. Do you take them in either game? Do you like the Jags to fall because they're in the dome of Indianapolis? The other team that is going to be good, they always are good, except for they were just absolutely decimated by injury last year, the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
They quietly ran off a number of division crowns there. Nobody kind of noticed. I feel like the AFC South is collectively kind of this vaguely ignored. I think it's because it's an SEC country. That the football fans of that region have their attention divided to some degree, and if the team doesn't happen to be especially good in a given year, it's easy to sort of like, yeah, I'm going to focus in on the Tide this year. Vols, what are my dogs up to? Come on, dogs, let's get on over to Athens. That's how they all talk.
That, well, I only know one of them, but he does talk like that.
I think that's tough. And the Titans are good, too.
Why would you rule out the Titans?
That's the point.
I like the Titans.
I mean, those are six tough games before you even get into things. Yes, they have the fourth place schedule, but so what? They still have to play beyond the games I mentioned to you. They start the season at home against the Bengals. Okay, that's fine. They also play the NFC East. I realize everybody else in their division does, too, but the decisive matter there is that the teams, like we just said, within their own division are going to knock them down, so they're going to have to steal wins outside of the games within their division. Who are they beating? They win in D.C. in Week 2. They win in at Philly in Week 3. They win in at the Patriots in Week 5. They have to go across the country to play the Oakland Raiders. We'll see if that team surges back. The Dallas Cowboys are coming to town. This all amounts to no playoffs for the Indianapolis Colts. Handsome Hank, how say you?
I agree with you 100%. They're one of the easier teams that you could you come up with. I also think it's Frank Reich was not their first choice. Like, that's an awkward situation.
I know, but
to
that worked out for Doug Peterson, though. So, like, but with that is
I don't know. I mean, the whole setup isn't what you'd want. You don't have your quarterback in the state that you'd want him in. You chose a different coach who turned you down, and then you had to go for Plan B. Not a bad Plan B. I'm certainly not throwing shade over Reich, but like it's not who you wanted. And then the rest of your team is, as you say, you're rebuilding almost entirely.
Even some, you know, Will Blackman, who shadows Studio 66 on occasion.
He's a nice guy.
Has said T.Y. Hilton, great, but maybe a little diminished from where he even was a little while ago. And he's there by far and away their number one option back. They feel obviously like a team in transition. Hopefully for their sake, Ballard and Reich will get them on the right track. But I think it's too tall an order for them to.
What order does that division finish in?
I'm not ready to render my final.
Come on, we're not ready.
I think.
What are you waiting for?
I think the Jags. I think the Texans absolutely have a shot to take down the Jaguars this year. The Titans. I don't know why.
No one will hold you to it because you change your picks all the time anyway. So
I do not.
What's your pick now? Like today?
Outrageous.
What's your answer?
Outrageous.
Why?
I'm not ready to give that to you. I'm not going to play ball with you. Hey, what I do want to play, though, is another round of Use Your Noodle.
So get together and canoodle. We got the whole kit and caboodle. And while the questions, they may be futile, it's time for you to use your noodle.
It's a great bit.
Not a bit.
No, it's a great song. Sorry.
Well, in light of you guys talking about Andrew Luck possibly missing some time, and he did last year, the question is, can you name all of the NFL QBs that started during the 2017-2018 season? There's 56 total different starters last year.
Of course. I'd be disappointed if I couldn't name at least 53 of them. How many did you say? 54?
56.
56.
56.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think I could name
50. Okay. I think we can do that.
All right. Handsome, you start.
Joseph Flacco.
Joseph. I'm going to go with Jacoby Brissett.
I will take Andrew Dalton.
Oh, going formal today.
Yep.
Marcus Mariota.
I don't know what it's short for. Jay Cutler.
I will say, this is ridiculous.
How many? 56.
Tom Savage. We should go on and on. This is going to take forever.
Benjamin Roethlisberger.
Deshaun Watson.
Thomas Brady.
Blake Bortles.
Marcus Mariota.
This is the worst one ever. I'm going to win on this cheapo. I can't believe it. You blew it, handsome.
I did. I didn't mean to. Can I just take that back?
All right, go
ahead. I was just looking at lists.
Go ahead.
What
a gen. Can you imagine? My heart is as big
you
as
are. You're a big. You're a good person. Case Keenum.
Jared Goff.
James Garoppolo.
Tyrod Taylor.
Sam Bradford.
Carson Wentz.
I've got a good one for you.
All right, go ahead. I can't wait to hear it.
I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. I've got a good one that you're not going to get that's going to win me this.
Nick Foles.
Derek Carr.
Alex Smith.
Aaron Rodgers.
Brett Hundley.
Kirk Cousins.
Dak Prescott.
Phil Rivers.
Nathan Peterman.
Ooh, that's a good one. Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, Mike Glennon. See, you started jumping around. You started the business of bouncing around. That's where it gets confusing.
It is, but I may have to use the one that I... Well, how many have we got now? Can you just tell us?
No, stop delaying. Go,
all
boy.
Right. Matthew Ryan.
Matthew Stafford.
Cameron Newton.
Drew Brees.
I shouldn't have jumped around, Dave. Bryce Petty.
Bryce Petty. Jameis Winston.
Am I going to have to play my ace card already?
There we go. Yeah, play your ace.
David Fales.
They're searching. Look at this.
He started the final game of the season for the Dolphins. Didn't he?
I don't know. MVP seems to disagree.
We're going to have to check up on this one. It's not on our list.
I
like that they don't have the answer to that. Wait a second. It wasn't. Why? I can't think of who it was, though. Oh, geez, oh, man. Geno Smith.
He did, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
DeShone Kizer.
I'm surprised you didn't take Eli Manning there when I just threw him out there for
you. Why don't you take him then, Dave? No. I'm trying to make you feel welcome.
No, Hank, David Fales, according to Pro Football Reference, did not start a game. He played in games. He played in two games in the 2017 season, but he started zero games.
Josh McCown.
Correct.
I don't think of who got hurt over the course of the season. Did Joe Flacco miss a game? No. We never saw Ryan Mallett out there. I said Jameis. I'm running through the divisions here. Did anybody other than Brett Hundley start? No, it was only him.
Cutler started that last game. I'm an idiot.
Did Matt Moore get anything?
Nope.
No Matt Moore.
Not as a starter.
Yeah, he did. Matt Moore did.
All right. I went in a blowout here. I just piled on there. All right. I think that's a good place to stop. I think Hansom's learned another powerful lesson.
There are a couple.
Like what?
I feel like name another Carter for the Colts. Starter for the Colts.
I can't think of number six. I'm trying to think of who that was. Their QB.
He was the one who started in between.
And he started 2 years ago, too, as well. He started a game on Thanksgiving night, I think is what it was, against the Steelers. I'm trying to think of who that is. Who is it?
Scott Tolzien. And then this is another – the Texans had somebody whose name was kind of thrown around a bit, but it's
– Yates.
TJ Yates. Yeah. This Yatesy. One's – the Rams had another starter besides Goff.
Who's their Sean Mannion?
Yeah.
He started a game, week 17 or something?
Yeah, he started. And then there's another week 17 starter as well that people pass up, that he's going to start this year, but people forget about.
Oh, man, oh, man. Pat Mahomes.
See, there's some tricky ones that people would have missed.
But. Mahomes was good, but I win. That's the important thing.
Dave wins.
Yeah.
I think you're now like 1-5 against me, Dave.
Oh, stop it. All right, good round of Use Your Noodle. Good show overall, I dare say.
Wait, it's over?
That's it. It's done with.
Okay.
What do you think? Did you think it was a good show?
I mean, yeah, it just it flashed by in an instant to me. I was having so much fun.
Isn't that true? I know. See, this was a big show. I didn't want to say it in advance because it would only add pressure onto myself. But I felt like this was an important show for Handsome Hank to show him that we can still have fun even when Willie McGinnis
when Willie's not here. The one thing I would say is like if we drove some news out of Tuesday's show with Willie, I don't think anyone's going to be picking anything up from this show.
Au contraire. I announced the Indianapolis Colts ain't going to the playoffs, and it ain't even July 4th yet.
So maybe some people who dislike you more in Indianapolis, but other than that.
Even bigger news, Ferris Wabi is now among
that
us.
That is
Muzzle
great
tub
news.
To the Hodgson family at large for that. Thanks to Cole Wright for joining us. It was wrong of him to leave, though. See? Because Wright. MVP, Eddie Spaghetti, good stuff. Handsome Hank, what a pleasure. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce for you next week. In the meantime, download it and subscribe it and do all that jazz. Ooh, and right now I'm going to jump on with our pal from CBS Sports, Will Brinson, on his very fine show, so be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. And a thin slice of heaven.